few weeks ago, and I'm not even thinking about finishing this thing today. A few weeks ago, the Lord started something new that to me is bothersome. But He is the potter. I am the clay. So I cannot tell the potter how to run his business. A few weeks ago, the Lord started something a little unusual. And I'm going to start by saying, I am feeling a little uneasy about this morning's sermon. And the reason for this is not that I have a problem with the topic. It's rather, I didn't have enough time to basically memorize what I'm going to preach today so I can flow. But last time I complained about this, I was scourged by my God. And I was asked if I want to tell him how to run his business. Which I said, of course not, Lord. So I'm going to start this morning by saying, God wants to accomplish something with this sermon today. In light of the last events that has happened among us and the huge amount of phone calls that we've got from people suffering illnesses and diseases that are not necessarily rooted in a virus, in a germ, or anything of that matter, but rather are rooted in emotional and mental problems. I was instructed by my Lord to address something that you already know it, and yet you're still struggling with the way that you handle these things. In our era, modern society has somewhat deflected from the truth. Modern society has somewhat deflected from biblical principles, and then when the results come knocking at our door, we feel upset. When we come to church, ask the preacher to pray for the mess, and nothing happened. And in many instances, people get upset with the preacher. And children is one of them. And as I ponder about this thing while I was awake, lately is a new pattern now, my mind could go back to the book of Numbers, where Moses told the people of Israel, you better watch out what you're doing. And you should always remember that your sin shall find you out. It shall catch up with you. Now, sometimes it doesn't happen to be a sin. It just have to be an act of rebelliousness, which is like witchcraft. In our society today, we've been lied into thinking that once you go to a school, which in biblical times, there wasn't public schools. Your school would either be in church at the foot of a prominent leader, or it would be at home. And this principle has been carried out until 60 years ago. But then somebody came along and lied to us, saying that we have to create public schools where our children can be taught. On the moment that we accept that garbage, we gave away the right of teaching our children the things of God. Because the very first thing that came after that is that God was taken out of school. And because God is taken out of school, our children now are indoctrinated with the garbage that the liberals want them to believe. And at the end of the day, it all boils down to one point: more dependence on government, self-esteem is all-time low. For some reason, some idiotic liberal out there thinks that we can't run our lives, so they have tell us how to run our lives, and in the process, they are indoctrinating our children. Because we are too busy with our profession, our careers. Let me get something out of the way right now. If you have a professional career, God bless you. But so many times, people will call the office asking prayer for their children. They don't want to come to church. They don't want to serve God. They don't want to read their Bibles. And I often wonder, I wonder why. So I often ask, how many times a day do you sit down with your children and read the Bible together just for reading? Let me ask again. How many times a day you sit down with your kids and you read the Bible together with them just for reading? You see, preacher, y'all preach to have your heads on the cloud. I got a job. I come from work beat up, tired. I can barely stand on my feet. Okay. I'm not denying that. I'm asking about your children. I ain't got no time to be reading no Bible, children. I'm tired. So let me ask. From the time you come home to the time your children go to bed, what do they do? Preacher, I don't need anybody to be scolding me now and accusing me for anything. I said, who's accusing anybody from anything? I'm asking questions. I want to know what's the best way to help. I cannot do that. I mean, they are playing video game, or I don't know, they are watching a cartoon. All right. Well, fair enough. I want you to pray for them to come to God, for them to be willing to follow Jesus. So, what you're asking me, and you're asking the wrong person, by the way, you're asking for a wonder. Asking for what? A wonder. What do you mean a wonder? You are busy in Mr. Jones' office the whole day, and you come home tired, and you lay on your lazy butt, and you put the TV and the video game in for your children to watch. You don't give them nothing of God, and then you turn around and ask the preacher to bring your children to God. How ridiculous is this? Well, I've got a student loan to pay. So great. Let me ask you this. Did God tell you to take a loan to go to college? Yes, He did. Then you shouldn't be worried about anything. What do you mean? If God told you to take a loan to go to a school, to learn a trade so you could have a job, and He told you to have kids? Yes, He did. So if He did, you have no business to be worried about your children's future. How is that possible? Well, God told you to do it, right? Yeah. He'll take care of it. But they don't want to go to church. Did God really say that? Did God really tell you to get along? Well, you know, everybody say you have to go to college. Ah, so it wasn't God, it was everybody. Folks, I'm not scourging people that went to college. You went to college, great. You took a loan to go to college, bad. But you can survive. But if things came to that point, make sure that before you have children, your bills are paid from college. And that you have enough cushion to stay home to take care of them for the first 8 years. What? Somebody just said, this is why I don't like to come to your church. You have this kind of crazy ideas. So it's crazy for me to tell you to be biblical, but it's not crazy for you to go get a job, spend 8 hours on Mr. Smith's office doing whatever he tells you to do, 2 hours commuting, then get home tired, then mad, give the kids pizza to eat because your butt is too busy, too tired to cook, and then they are growing up out of proportion. Instead of becoming taller, they are becoming big. And then they don't want to know about God because they have a video game on all the time. And then you call on the preacher to fix them. This is not ridiculous, right? So you know what, preacher? I regret that I called. I said, I'm glad you did. Because from this point forth, you are responsible. Now, some other folks, and here's the trend, folks. We are listening to what everybody else is saying. Then we go out to make a plan, how we want things to work out, and we go in and jump and carry things on the way we think it should be. And when it doesn't quite work the way we thought it should work, we come to the preacher to fix it. The preacher can fix it. We get mad at the preacher because he ain't a good preacher. He ain't got no anointing. Otherwise, my children would be all in church. And then the children grow up. They don't want to know about God because they were never taught about God. And they expect that the preacher will convert their kids. Then the children grow up. They don't want to listen to anything about God. They go out and they mess themselves up. And now the parents get mad because the children are not listening to them. And now the grandchildren is getting even worse than the children. And then they start holding grudges. And they get sick. All this could have been avoided. Are you with me here? Let me tell you this. The greatest weapon, I'm coming to conclude this right now, that the devil is using against the church today, and by the way, bless your heart if you're homeschooling your children. Bless your heart. It is you who are making the foundation, not a stranger, a gay or a lesbian or some pervert. You are infiltrating God into them. The devil is using the greatest weapon at his disposal, and we are not able to see it. The devil will fool us into thinking that we have to do something because everybody else is doing it. And then we do. And then we get indebted. Although the Bible says, owe no man nothing except love. Is that in the Bible? Yes. And then when we owe somebody, the government, thousands and thousands of dollars, then we have to go to get a job to pay the loan. But yet we want to have kids. Unless you're making a ton of money, to have a godly person, you're staying on the house caring for the kids and doing the homeschooling and the whole nine yard, you still have the risk to have some mess down the street. And then when things doesn't go our way, they will grow up not willing to hear from God. We get mad at God, we get mad at ourselves, we get mad at them for not listening, and then grudges sits in. Hurt, bitterness, we are offended. Then we get sick. And then when we get sick, Now we are resentful because the children are not coming to visit us. Well, the children tell you, I've got bills to pay. I went to college. And the bills are here to pay. I've got a family to take care of. And the cycle goes on and on and on. Now, the bad about this whole thing is, when you come to that point of resentment, the devil got you. The devil will do everything in his power so you and your children will be always fussing and cussing at each other, arguing. And most of the time, the resentment comes because the children will not listen to us. Get used to it. Listen to Brother Harry, it's not in there. Put 2 Timothy here, chapter 2, verse 22. I thought you already preached about that. I thought too. But I'm going with the flow. You know what? Give me the Message Bible. 2:22. Run away from infantile indulgence. Run after mature righteousness. Run after faith. Run after love. Run after peace. Join those who are in honest and serious prayer before God. I am not going to go after what everybody is saying. Well, you got to go to college. Really? Bill Gates never went to college. He went and he dropped out. And he's the second richest man in the planet. Are we together here? Warren Buffet, whatever this punk name is, he didn't even finish high school. So you're saying we shouldn't go to college? I'm not saying that. Some people are ingenious. They can make without being there. Some of them will go through college. They're going to spend $100,000 on loan and they're going to do, what's your major? English. Really? What's your major? Literature? You're going to be flipping burgers with a major in literature and in English. Oh! I shouldn't go by what people are saying on the streets. I should be joining those who are honest, in honest and serious prayer before God. But the problem is neither parents or children like to pray today. You know we have the Saturday prayer, last Saturday of the month. This place should be jam-packed. And sometimes I get difficult feeling the spot because we can't give God one Saturday a month. Well, I got things to do. Great, go right on. Whenever the trouble comes, think about the things you had to do. Some people complain that we have too much service. You must be out of your mind. If you would be in the days of the Old Testament, there was service 6 o'clock in the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning, 12 in the morning, 3 in the morning, and 6 in the evening. Did y'all hear what I said? Every single day. We're still together, right? Verse 23. Refuse to get involved in inane discussions. This is what the devil wants to be. The devil wants father and son, mother and daughter, father and daughter, mother and son to be fussing at each other. Why? It always ends up in fight. You with me so far, right?
Yes.
Verse 24. God's servant must not be argumentative. And I know you're not argumentative. It's the church down the street. But the devil will try to cause the friction to come so you may be arguing and fighting each other back and forth. God's people must be gentle. a gentle listener, and a teacher who keeps cool. Preacher, how can I keep cool that bubblehead daughter of mine will not listen? I said, and the more you pound, the worse it becomes. Keep you cool. Verse 25. God's people must be working firmly, but patiently with those who refuse to obey. Stop. If your grown-up child is not following Christ, don't be the Holy Ghost. You're not listening to what I'm saying. Your grown-up child will not come to Christ and they refuse to obey the faith. Back off. Be firm and patient with those who refuse to obey. You never know how or when God might sober them up with a change of heart and a turning to the truth. You know, you are not the Holy Ghost. How many of you ladies knows that the more you try to change your husband, the worse he becomes? Can I have an amen here? It doesn't work. The Holy Spirit is the one who will convince people from sin, righteousness, and judgment. It's not us. Our task is to be firm, to be patient, and steadfast. God will sober them up. I like this translation because when somebody, especially a PK, a preacher's kid, or a church kid, your parents are serving God, you've been a church mouse. What is a church mouse? Somebody who grew up in church. And then all of a sudden you decide to go cuckoo. And you're going to mess yourself up, be out there in the mud. Mom and Dad, get real. What you can do, be firm and patient. Hang on the promises that God has for your children. Otherwise, you're going to be fighting and fussing and cussing. And you're going to get sick. You with me so far, right? When somebody decides to go out there, they are not sober. Are you with me here? They are not sober. It's God who will change their hearts and turn them to the truth. So while God is working, Mom, can I borrow $500 to pay my rent? No. Mom, what? I said, can I borrow $500 to pay my rent? I don't have it. Yes, you do. Are you monitoring my finances? What do you do with all your money? That's none of your business. That's not nice. No, it's not. That's being firm. Yes. Amen. You didn't hear what I said? That's not being nice? I'll give you that. That's being firm. Yes. Are you going to allow your child to be on the street? No. I'll take them to the public shelter. What? What kind of parent are you? The one who is working firmly and patiently with those who refuse to obey the truth. Now you refuse to obey the truth, evil catches up with you, and then mom and dad has to come to the rescue. You must be nuts. That doesn't mean that here and there you can give them a plate of food. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is that people are getting sick because they get mad, because they get bent out of shape and they start arguing and fussing and fighting, not realizing that the work to convert their children is not theirs, it's God's, not ours. And the devil is enjoying every bit of this. Man, come on, man. Listen to verse 26. Enabling them to escape the devil's trap, where they are caught and held captive, forced to run his errands. If you have a family member that is in that situation, they have been held captive by the devil. And the devil is forcing them to run his errands. What is the devil's errands? Make your parents mad at you. Make your spouse mad at you. Make y'all mad at each other. Are you with me here?
Yes.
And this is where the disease comes. So, preacher, what is it then that you want me to do? I don't want you to do anything. But the Bible does tell you that there are a few things that you can do. Real quick, the next 10 minutes, I want to go as fast as I can. Number one, what must we do and don't do concern our children? Here comes the first one. Teach them God's way while they're young. Read it with me. Train up a child in the way he should go.
And when he's old, he will not depart from it.
So instead of turning on cartoons or giving them a video game, if you must introduce your child or children to a foreign god, whether it's Vizio or Sharp or Sony, whatever brand you choose, whatever size you choose, what are you talking about? You know, the 37 inches god, 42, 44, 50, 65, 70 inches, and they come in different denominations like Vizio, Samsung, HD, 4000K, UHD, TV, whatever, GE. So if you must introduce your children to a foreign god, make sure that at least you will have 25 DVDs about the things of God. And they're going to say, I don't want to watch this. Then you're not watching anything. Let's read the Bible. The work of training the children or the child is yours, not the preacher. We will reinforce what the children has been taught at home. Are we together, folks? Why is it so important? When I was in school, my major was theology. My second major was psychology. And one of the parts that I really, really, really enjoyed was the psychology of children. Do you know that your children is already born with a personality? Is everybody listening to me here?
Yes.
Your children is born with a personality. You can't change your children's personality. You can destroy it, but that personality will still be there. God is the one who gives people personalities. So your children is born with a personality. What you do in the first 3 years of this children's life, you will mold that personality. Then, from 3 to 7, you will develop your children's character. This is the only thing you can change. It's scientific. Every child from 0 to 3 years, all you can do is mold their personality by teaching them how to behave in the house of God, how to behave in front of scriptures. How many times you see children that the parents has been taking them to church and they sit by the side of the parents and the parents teach them how to sing and they are singing, they are raising hands. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
And they are 2 or 3 years old. Their personality has been molded after the things of God. Now from 4 to 7, sometimes 3 to 7 depending on the child, you're going to now develop the character of the child. What do you mean by that? That 3 years old kid is going to be 4 years now. Already got used to go to church 3 times a week. Mom, let's go to church. Let's go to church. They're ready. Now they come to 4.5 years old. It's Sunday morning. They are open at 7. Ready to be dressed. Where's mom? Where's dad? Dad? What? Let's go to church. Oh, son, I'm so tired today. We go, but dad is going to stay in bed a little bit. But dad is so tired. He was watching the game last night until 3 o'clock in the morning. Of course, you're not going to tell the children that. Dad is so tired. Well, that happened one time. The child will be sympathetic. Well, dad is tired. Leave dad alone. But then it happened the second time, and the third time, and the fourth, and the fifth, and the seventh, and the 20th time. That child will start thinking that it's okay to be in bed late and not be in time at church. Why? That's the character that we are instilling on the children. Are we with me?
Yes.
And then mom and dad come to church like 2 zombies. The blood of Jesus shed for me. And the child is looking. What? Nothing. Upon Calvary. Yo, sing too. I'm tired. The baby's looking. Calvary tree. That children is learning with the parents that when you're tired and in a bad mood, you don't have to come to church and sing with all your heart. And then later you want to tell me to fix your kids? What's wrong with that picture? Train up a child in the way he should walk. You know why? When he is old, he will not depart from it. Watch this. Brother Harry, give me the backslider translation here. Watch this. Point your kids in the right direction. When they're old, they won't be lost. If you're training the kids the way it's supposed to go, they can go to college and not start smoking pot because they've been told from the get-go how to do it. Are you with me so far? Now watch this. Brother Harry, may I please have the Holman Christian stand the Bible here? Teach a youth about the way he should go. Are you getting the message?
Yes.
Well, it doesn't stop there. When we go to Proverbs 17:6, we learn this. Children's children are the crown of an old man. Is that right? If we realize that the children are the glory of the parents, we would spend more time with our kids than with our second God. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
Now, I'm going to jump the page and we'll go back next week. You may say, well, preacher, I hear what you're saying. Okay, I hear what you're saying. But I didn't come today here to be accused by you. All right. Fair enough. My children are all grown. Everybody live by themselves. And yet, they don't want to hear about the things of God. You know how many times we took them to church? I don't know, but a lot, I'm assuming. They know it. You know how many times I tried to tell them about Jesus and they won't listen. Get used to it. Once your child reach 8 years old, you're going to butt head with them. The listening time is gone. When they come to 18, forget about it. The only time they will listen to you, partially, is when they are in a gym. So, man, you're so negative. No, I am not. These things will not happen if they are trained up in the way of the Lord. Are you with me here? So what about my kids? They're all grown up. I mean, I didn't grow up in church. I didn't know what to do. Ah, I'm glad that you call upon this. Brother Harry, may I please have Job chapter 1. Verse 4. Read it with me. And his sons would go and feast in their houses, each on his appointed day, and would send and invite to their three sisters to eat and drink with them. Now here's a typical example of a godly man, a God-fearing man, a man that had God on the first place in his life. And yet the little weasels, 10 of them, came out to be a blessing, put it this way. These kids were feast makers, gluttons and drunkards. Nowhere in the Bible we are told that Job would pick on their children trying to teach them the word of God. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Was Job aware of this? Yes. Watch this. Brother Harry, give him the New Living Translation here. Job's sons would take turns preparing feasts in their homes. And they would also invite their three sisters to celebrate with them. Those were party boys. And this man is a God-fearing man. The question is, where did he go wrong? Well, excuse me, but may I tell you that even God-fearing homes have bubblehead kids? That's it. Even God-fearing homes, you can have bubblehead kids. Now listen to the next verse. Verse 5. When these celebrations ended, sometimes after several days, Job would purify his children. I want you to stick with me, those of you who have adult children that refuses to follow God. And the reason I'm bringing you this, my Lord revealed to me this morning, is for a simple reason. God wants you to be in health. God wants your soul to be prosperous and in health. And the devil can use a spouse, children, and grandchildren to cause friction so you can be manipulated by the devil at his will. So what do I do when we have grown-up children or spouses that would not listen to the Lord? Job would purify his children. He would get up early in the morning and offer a burnt offering for each of them. Are you with me so far? Now let me reverse this. Brother Harry, give me back the New King James or the King James, whatever is easier. Watch this. So it was, when the days of feasting had run their course, that Job would descend and sanctify them. And he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it might be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus, Job did regularly. Well, you have it on the page over there that I wrote it. I went to the Hebrew Old Testament. And I went to look for the word purify. The word purify is the word kadash, which is a variation from the word kadosh. God is kadosh, holy. But when it comes to man, it's kadash. And what does the word kadash mean? To be causatively make or made, or to be pronounced, or to be observed as clean, ceremonially or morally. To be appointed, to be consecrated, dedicated, to be hallowed, to be kept holy. And I want you to pay attention to the final sentence. Proclaim, purify, and sanctify. So, I don't understand. The Bible said that when the feast came, Job would rise early in the morning. Huh? Job would ascend and sanctify his children. What was it? Did Job get all the 7 kids? Okay. Let's take a shower now and let's repent for all our sins. No. No. And here's the key where many of us are missing. If you dare to call one of your grown-up children, come on, you just came from a night out there and you were drunk last night. Come on, ask forgiveness for God for the drinking that you have and all the party, the weed that you smoke, blah, 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 blah. They're going to cuss you out and walk away. Are you with me? So what does he mean by Job sanctify them? I was hoping that you would have picked it up. To pronounce. Are you with me here? To hallow. To dedicate and to proclaim. How do you do that? The weasel was partying the whole night. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I proclaim that my weasel kid, my weasel child, is holy, whether he's like it or not. Yes. Cause him or her to get sick and tired of his way of living and turn their heart back to you. Yes. I am proclaiming what my child ought to be, not what they are doing. It is no use to be sick over our children's behavior, our spouse's behavior, because you're not going to change their mind. It's the Holy Spirit who will convince them. Meanwhile, what you can do, you can proclaim, you can declare that they are holy, that they are pure, and that they're going to serve God. In doing so, you're fighting against what the devil want their lives to be.
Amen.
Are you with me here?
Yes.
You can ask Sister Marcia. We pray for our children every day. And my prayer is just one. Father, I thank you for the blessing that Hudson is. I thank you for the blessing that Jamili is. I thank you for the blessing that Benny is. I thank you for the blessing that Ted is. I thank you for the blessing that all our grandchildren is. And I thank you for the even greater blessings that they will become. Well, in doing this, I'm sanctifying them. Are you with me so far? And sometimes I tell them, you are a hooked fish. We didn't bring children to this world to be a puppet in the hands of the devil, like 2 Timothy 2 says. Now, they made a wrong choice. All right. You're going to bust your nose. You're going to bleed until the day that some soberness will get into you and you'll come back to God. Are you with me so far? Why would I do that? Because you don't want to resent. You don't want to be angry. You don't want to be mad because they are not listening to you or doing what you wish them to do. So you ask me to abandon my children? I never told you that. Don't be lousy. Are you with me so far? So the first step, we sanctify our children. You know what? Brother Harry, give me the King James here. I think I saw in the King James something different here. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them. Yes. And rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the numbers of them all. What can you do? What else can you do for your children? Offer a burnt offering for your children.
Amen.
What?
The
temple is already gone. Yes, silly. It doesn't mean that you're going to have to get a goat or a sheep and burn. So what are you talking about? Make a vow. Make a vow. What? Make a vow. Lord, if my kid comes to you this year yet, in return, I will do so and so and so and so. Give me an example. I'm not going to give you an example because you're going to do what I tell you to do, and it doesn't happen, then you're going to cuss me out. It's between you and God. It's between you and God. But make a vow.
Amen.
What do you mean? You're going to sacrifice something that's too dear for you so that God would turn the heart of your child around.
Amen.
So that God would turn the heart of your spouse around. So that God will turn the heart of your parents around, whoever it is that needs to be turned. God will turn the heart of your siblings, whatever, whoever it is. We don't offer burning offerings anymore, but we can make a vow. Are we together so far?
Yes.
For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Why do I want to show you this? Because sometimes you're going to make a vow and the results may not come right away. Do another vow. Well, I did and didn't come through. Do another one. How long I have to do this? Continually. Are you with me here? Are you all with me here? So what you're trying to say, preacher? Killing yourself over the life of your grown-up children or your siblings or your spouses will land you in bed. The devil will have you captive to do his will, running his errands, and nothing will be accomplished. Somebody strong has to be in the household to fight the battles of the Lord. So instead of every time you meet your child pointing up their mess, they already know that they are messed up. Sanctify them by pronouncing what you believe they are and what they will become. Not what is before your eyes. Every time I talk to Hudson, to Ted, and to Benny, how you doing, preacher? Dad, please stop. I'm not going to be a preacher. It's all right. But I will speak over you. That's it. Talk to my daughter, woman of God. Oh. But let me tell you, boys and girls, you had no say on the decision of your coming into planet Earth. Mom and I did. So I choose not to fight. But I'm going to stand in here pronouncing sanctification. I'm going to stand here declaring who you are in Christ Jesus and who you ought to become. Whether you like it or not, you can control the words of my lips. And I'm going to be pumping up holiness into you. I'm going to be pumping up God's purpose in you. Even if you have to lose your job, be homeless and whatnot, God's will be accomplished in you. And you know, I just noticed that my younger son is here. You are my witness right now. He will become a preacher. Whether he likes it or not. Watch. Watch. That's all I say. Folks, there's no reason for us to lose our sleep. Lose our health. Lose our peace. And lose our savings account. With children that will not listen to God. Much less to us. Yes. And sometimes we have to have some tough love. Can I borrow your car? No. Man, you got 5 cars. Yes. Why can't I borrow one? Well, stop serving my God as I do. You're going to have 5 cars too. Would you do that to your children? You better believe I will. I got an emergency. Call a cab. I can't afford a cab. Can I borrow your car? No. I'll take you. Oh, it's going to take long. Then I'll drop you there and I'll come home. You catch a bus home. Somebody may say, how could you be such a harsh? It's not harsh. It's tough love. They can tell you. My children can tell you. I said, while you're under this roof, you don't have a say in anything here. The day that your name goes on the deed, I will follow your instruction. Are you with me so far?
Amen.
So what you're saying, preacher, it is no use for you to get sick, upset, mad at your siblings, at your spouse, at your children, because they are not listening to you. Sanctify them. Start pronouncing blessings. Holiness, salvation.
Yes.
Start thanking God for the blessings that they are.
Yes.
And call into existence the things that are not as if they were.
Yes.
Call their purpose.
Yes.
Call who they ought to be into existence.
Amen.
Move out of the way and watch God do it.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Next week we'll continue. There's a few other things that we shouldn't do, but I'm excited about the promises that God has about our children and grandchildren. Amen?
Amen?
Stand on your feet. I want you to pray with me. And then you can sit down again. Pray after me. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I move out of the way. And in the name of Jesus, I pronounce blessings into my children's life.
I pronounce blessings into my siblings' lives.
I pronounce blessings into my spouse's life.
My
parents' lives.
My
whole entire family's lives.
In the name of Jesus.
I retrieve every negative word I spoke against the life of my children,
my spouse,
my siblings,
my parents,
my whole entire family.
I take it back.
And I thank you
for the blessings that they are.
And the even greater blessing that they will become.
In Jesus'
name. Amen. Have a seat. Now, I want to do something a little awkward. If we have here parents that have children along with you, I want you to get all your children by your side. And if there's the father, Father, I want you to go to your children. I want you to just touch them. I bless you with all the blessings that God has for you. If father is not here, if mom is here,
The mother just touched your child. I bless you with all the blessings that God has for you. Can you do that?
Yes.
We're going to call into existence the things that are not, as if they were. Every one of you, have your child here, your children here? Just do it. Huh? Your grandchildren, just do it.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
I bless you.
Amen.
With all the blessings that God has for you. I bless you with godliness. All God has to you. I bless you with everything that God has for you. And it will come to pass in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. I bless you with all that God has for you. And it will come to pass in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I rebuke the spirit of rebelliousness. I bless you with everything that God has for you. I bless you with everything that God has for you. Everything that God has for you, I bless you with. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. We call purpose salvation. Godly desires. We bind her to the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name. Now, if you are a child and you don't have a parent here, I want you to raise your hand so somebody close to you can do it for you. Child, there's a child here without any parent? Well, all right, you don't want it? We're not going to force you to be blessed. Amen? Glory to God. Folks, it's harvest time. It's harvest time. God will bring all of them in. And I'm looking forward for that. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord.